Excluding the unusual case of Spain, the leading economic powers have followed an evolutionary progression. First, agriculture, fishing, and the like. Next, commerce and industry, and finally, finance. Several historians have elaborated this point. Brooks Adams contended that as societies consolidate, they pass through a profound intellectual change. Energy ceases to vent through the imagination and takes the form of capital. Will and Ariel Durant explained that history repeats, but only in outline and in the large. We may reasonably expect that in the future, as in the past, that new civilizations will begin with pasture and agriculture, expand into commerce and industry, and luxuriate in finance. In 1908, as we have seen, Winston Churchill, then Britain's president of the Board of Trade, vented a similar historical interpretation in finding the seed of imperial ruin and national decay in the unnatural gap between the rich and the poor, and the swift increase of vulgar, jobless luxury. This bespoke finance, then emerging powerfully in the United Kingdom. And the French scholar Fernand Braudel observed that the long perspectives of history suggest, perhaps fallaciously, that economic life is subject to slow-moving rhythms. The splendid cities of medieval Italy, whose decline took gradual shape in the 16th century, often began by building on the profits from road or sea transport. It was thus with Asti, with Venice, with Genoa. This was followed by mercantile activity, then by industrial development. Finally, the crowning touch, the growth of banking. Inverse proof, the decline affected, successfully, and sometimes at very great intervals, and not without occasional brief revivals, transport, then commerce, then industry, allowing banking activities to survive long after the others. In the 18th century, Venice and Genoa were still centers of finance. A leading 20th century historian of Spain, Sir John Eliot, related that nation's decline to its reliance on gold, silver, and debt, its passive acceptance of finance. He also ruminated on how many Spaniards, by 1600 becoming aware of their country's apparent declinación, repeated the analogies of Polybius, the Roman historian, who likened the lifespans of great nations to the growth, maturity, and decay of living organisms. In a 1997 book indicting the emerging U.S. version of what he called the Judas economy, William Woolman, chief economist for Business Week, noted the reiteration of this familiar menace. The best historians have noticed that in each major phase of the development of capitalism, the leading country of the capitalist world goes through a period of financialization, wherein the most important economic dynamic is the creation and trading of abstract financial instruments rather than the production of genuine goods and services. This is a behavioral pattern, true enough, at least to date, that Americans must ponder. Spain, hardly a nation modern Anglo-Saxons pay much attention to, may have a unique relevance. The warnings it offers as the Western world's first major Judas economy, where finance triumphed and work decayed. Spain became something that economists particularly have not grasped. While the Netherlands, Britain, and the United States have all followed the familiar capitalist evolution in elevating finance, the perverse Spanish example is important. Before 16th century treasure fleets crossed the Atlantic, Spain had the small outlines of wool, textile, and iron and steel industries, as well as a minor bourgeoisie. But the large-scale arrival of bullion, year after year, was inflationary and sent the prices of local products climbing to levels that made them non-competitive and simultaneously diminished Spaniards' desire to work for anything but easy gains. Historians have ascribed these changes to the fostering of a bonanza mentality and to the emergence of Seville, the chief treasure port, as an El Dorado symbol and magnet for fortune seekers. More broadly, the general verdict of commentators has been that gold and silver reigned on Spain without ever greening its real economy.